Okay, can I have a couple people help me with the elements of the communion? And we'll take communion. You want to know how to make Anastasia smile? You want to know how to make Anastasia smile? I know how. Miss Connie's going to be here in just a little bit. She's making lots and lots of food, and you can have children's church. She will be here. Jesus said to take communion as often as you will. You know, I mean, you can take it once a month or once a week. You can take it daily. You could take it three times a day. You know, I would suggest if you get a bad report from the doctor and, you know, things, it feels like the whole world is coming down. You know, sometimes people go to the doctor and the doctor says, you have cancer. That's a bad report. I would very highly suggest you get with me so you can get the information, so you can get this, so you can take this three times a day. The doctor tells you to take your medicine three times a day, I bet you do it. Well, God says take this as often as you will. I would take this as often as you take the man-made medicine. Amen? And it's simple to do at home. You don't have to have a preacher there to do it. This is God's medicine. He said, take this often as you will. And Paul said, the only reason that Christians are sickly and die early is because they don't discern the body of Christ. When we look at this bread, it's very important to see the type and shadow of Jesus in this bread. God told them how to make this bread in the Old Testament. He gave them the exact directions how to make this. This is called matzah bread. And in the Old Testament, this was a type and shadow of Jesus. Now we look at this as Jesus' body, and we discern His body. How do we do that? Well, the first thing, this bread, you can notice, this bread is made without yeast. In the Old Testament, yeast was symbolic of sin. Jesus' body is certainly sinless. He never sinned one time. He perfect in every way. This bread also has been beaten flat. Jesus was beaten and bruised for us. You notice in this bread it has stripes on it. And it's by His stripes we were healed. He paid for our healing before He paid for our sins. And this bread has been pierced. Everywhere that Jesus shed His blood, He got redemption for us. You notice that this bread is also slightly burned. When Jesus got on the cross, He took the full wrath of God's fiery judgment. The judgment that was meant for us. Jesus took it, and He set us free. When God raised Him back to life, we got justified freely by His grace to the glory of God. So Jesus, we're taking this for our healing and our well-being, and we thank You for it. Jesus, You shed Your blood in so many places. And it brought us freedom in so many different ways. We may never ever get the full revelation of everything You've done for us in Your blood. But we thank You for it. Not only did Your blood wash away our sins, but Your blood protects us. Your blood delivers us. Your blood, it's by Your blood that You made us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, so we can go into the presence of God and receive mercy and grace in the time of need. We thank you for this. Praise God. Praise God. You know, I used to get real uncomfortable when it came time to take communion. There was so much pressure put on me because I was told to examine myself and get on my knees and ask God to forgive me every time we took communion. And I got so frustrated because every time I examined myself, I'd find something wrong with me again. And I finally got so frustrated that I just didn't want to take communion anymore. I don't want nothing to do with it. When I found out the truth about the Holy Communion and what Jesus did for me on that cross, it set me free. And now I look to Jesus. I don't look at myself no more. I look to Jesus. My righteousness is wrapped up in Him. My sanctification is wrapped up in Him. My justification is wrapped up in Him. It's by His grace that I have been saved. I know that in and of myself, I am nothing. But my life is wrapped up in Christ. My life is hid in Him. When I got born again, I got baptized into the body of Christ. And now I am under the blood. And God looks at me in ways that I don't look at me. He looks at me through the eyes of love, through the blood of Jesus. When He looks at me, He sees the sacrifice of His Son, and He says, that's a perfect work. Even though I may not see myself that way, when I walk down the hall and finally get there and look in the mirror, I can say, glory to God, I've been made perfect. Don't look at the blemishes of your life. Look to the cross. Amen? Look to the cross and walk in victory. Open up your Bibles to, I believe, 1 Peter chapter 2. Let me make sure of my numbers here. 1 Peter chapter 2. And I'll pray for us. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for this opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that is always here to teach us and guide us and help us to rightfully divide your word of truth. Father, as He teaches us, we know that we have the ability to learn from you because you've given us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. We thank you for this. Father, we thank you that when we take your word into our hearts, it builds faith. We see the grace of Jesus on His cross, in His death, burial, and resurrection. And it builds faith. It builds strong faith, a fiery faith in our hearts. And we praise you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. 1 Peter chapter 2. Now remember, we're building a foundation for our relationship with the Holy Spirit. And we've learned a lot about how He deals with the body of Christ, how He deals with us on an individual basis, how He walks with us, how He works with us when we go out into the mission field. And by the way, when you go out that door, that's the mission field. Every day, you're in the mission field. Every day, there's a possibility to get somebody born again. Every day, there's a possibility to pray for somebody and make a difference in their life. Amen? Every day there's a possibility to set somebody free. Every day that means there is a opportunity for us to lean on the Holy Spirit and let Him operate through us so that we can meet the needs of the people out in the mission field. Amen? And the mission field could be the grocery store, the gas station, wherever you may be, wherever the sole of your foot lands, you're in the mission field. Amen. Okay, this add to our foundation a little bit here. Chapter 2, verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. See, that's how we get our growth. That's how we grow in Christ. And you got here just in time to save that girl. Boy, she was sweating. She thought she was going to have to deal with me all day long. Yeah, I did. I gave her a reprieve, so something to look forward to. That's how we grow, is from His Word. When we take His Word into our hearts, we grow spiritually. And He told us to desire the sincere milk of the Word. That means to desire His Word. More than anything else, desire His Word. Get His Word in our hearts. Jesus said to abide in me, and I abide in you. How do we abide in Jesus? Is to read His Word. Amen? I know sometimes we get busy and our schedules get hectic, you know, and we got this and we got that and we got this meeting and we got this goal and we got life happens, you know, and then things happen and we got work and we got all this other stuff. Sometimes it gets a little hard to just stop and get the most important thing for us, His Word in our hearts. So I encourage people all the time to go to josephprince.org, go to Joseph Prince Ministries, Google that. I know you can Google that. People Google the symptoms of weird diseases all the time, and then they come tell you, what about this? I hiccuped like that 3 times yesterday. I think I got this. Google something that's good for you. Go to josephprince.org and get on his email list so he can email you some daily grace messages so you can get a little email every day. You can pull it up and you can read. You get some word in you. You know, you can open up your Bible and you can read a little bit of the Bible. You know, the important thing is get his word in your heart. Amen. See, that's how we grow. Desire that sincere milk of the word. Then it goes on to say, if so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. When you get born again, you find out about the grace of God. You know there's no way you can save yourself. Only He can. When you say, Jesus be my Lord, you've tasted that He is gracious. To whom coming is unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. You also, see, this is describing you now. We find ourselves in the Bible. You also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house. That's the body of Christ. Every time somebody gets born again, they get brought into the body of Christ. They're a lively stone. And they get brought into this house that's builded upon the foundation where Jesus is the cornerstone. Amen. Goes on here, it says, you also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. This is you. You are a holy priesthood. Don't ever take your position in Christ lightly. Don't ever, ever call yourself as just some old sinner saved by grace. And don't ever call yourself a lowly worm. You are a holy priesthood. It cost God everything to do this. His Son. He put His Son on the cross. He shed His blood and bought you and sanctified you and put you in this position. This cost Him everything. Don't take it lightly. You are a holy priesthood. To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he that believeth on Him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's you. He showed you his grace. Doesn't that light a little bit of a fire inside you? You feel that tingling on the inside of you. That's the word of God hitting you when you listen to what God has to say about you. That builds a fire in your heart. Amen? And then you find out about the grace of God and the goodness of God and the mercy of God. And then you have something to tell somebody out there. You know, you find somebody in the Mully Groves. You go out and say, man, I don't know exactly what's got you by the tail, but I know that Jesus is the answer. Amen. I don't know how to fix whatever problem you're in, but I can show you Jesus, and he can guide you out of this. Amen. And you can ask the Holy Spirit, say, what would you have me to tell this man? He may give you a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge. Amen. We have to be ready in season and out of season. You know, one day I was really, really busy. And I was putting in a water line. And I had to get this water line done. I had to get it done. My animals were out of water. I think it was clinch time. I had to get it. And I thought, man, I would like a soda. I said, but I don't have time. I really want a soda. I'm going to just go out of my way to go get this soda, so I'll shut up. So I went in to celebrate, to go in there to get this soda, so I could go down and finish my water line. I went in there, and the first thing I noticed was the lady that was running the store at the cash register was laying on the floor, and it looked to me like an epileptic seizure. So I thought, okay, I guess I know what my job is today. It's not that water line, it's this lady. Call the ambulance and start praying. Pray. 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 You know, epileptic seizures are always tense. You know, the bodies are always tense. All of a sudden, she relaxed. I said, you get back in your body. You stay there. You know, watching. There was another guy there, and I said, is that you breathing or is that her? I couldn't feel a pulse. He said, that's her. Said, okay. And then she tensed back up. And then we got her to the ambulance, to the hospital. Look, folks, sometimes we have to just stop in our hectic and busy schedule and just go out of the way to do something maybe that's out of the normal. Amen? I really didn't have to have a soda. I had water. But somebody needed to be at that spot. See, that's our job. That's our job, is to be at appointed times. It wasn't by luck. It wasn't by chance. God knew what was going on. I had no idea. I had no idea. That lady didn't even know she had epilepsy. But God knew that she was in trouble, and she needed somebody on site right there to get there. And he didn't need somebody to put on their religious shackles and say, I will never go into a place that serves alcohol. Knock that off. Amen? We don't have time to play church. When God needs somebody on the site, He needs them there now. Amen? You don't have time for the churchy games. You get in there and you get the job done. Amen? Now, let's go over here to 2 Peter chapter 1. And what we studied last Sunday, we're going to keep building on that foundation. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Says, according as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. So that's how it's going to come, through the knowledge of Jesus. Remember, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. So when we learn of Jesus, learn of Him. I'm not talking about some doctrine handed down from church tradition. I'm talking about getting the Bible and learning from Jesus. Learning of Him. See, sometimes we get to seeking the blessing, or we get to seeking a goal. We get to seeking a healing. We get to seeking a blessing. We get to seeking something when we're supposed to seek Jesus. Amen? When you seek Him, all this other stuff is going to come into line. The healing will be there. The finances will be there. The protection will be there. The freedom will be there. When you seek Him and you find Him in His Word. And let's carry on back here again. That according as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. He wants you to walk in glory and in that virtue. And He wants it to be seen on you. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Great and precious promises. Great and precious promises. These promises are given unto you. They're not something you're waiting to receive. They're something that has already been given unto you. You've got it. Believe you receive it, and you shall have it. That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world. He wants you to be a partaker of His divine nature. He wants you to be a little Christian. Christ, the anointed one, Jesus. And He calls you Christians. I mean, you're a little anointed one. Now, what did the anointed one do? He went about, he came to seek and save the lost, number one. He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And now, you're a little miniature version of Him. Amen? Now, you go out and seek and save the lost. Get people born again. Pray for them. Amen? Now, we got that. We covered that. Go over here to verse 5. Besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. Look over here to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12 says, that you would walk worthy of God who has called you unto His kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually works also in you that believe. See, when you go out on your day-to-day travels and you pray for somebody, that's the word of God working in you. And the word of God is the source of the anointing. Did you know you don't have to have a burning bush experience to get in contact with that anointing? And here's something, don't you ever fall for this trick. Again, some of us have fallen for it. I know you've heard a preacher say, if you give into this ministry, you're going to partake in my anointing. I don't want your anointing. I want the Holy Spirit's anointing. That's the only anointing you need to be involved with. Amen? Amen? Don't fall for the pulpiteers. Don't fall for the pulpiteers. Don't give because you think you're going to get something. Give because you've already received. Amen? Give out of a pure heart with joy. Amen? He's already given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Praise God. Praise God. He wants you to walk in His divine nature. Think about that now. What does that mean? To walk in His divine nature. You know, I told you we find ourselves in the Bible. The same way Jesus had to find Himself in the Bible. He opened up the scroll and he read it and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Jesus described Himself. And now that's you. That's our job. We have hope in our hearts. And there are people running around that are wondering if they're ever going to survive. Wondering, you know, some of them give up hope. You know, there's more veterans from the Iraqi war that have committed suicide than soldiers that died in Vietnam. They've given up hope. Somebody said, why doesn't the government do something? Why doesn't the church do something? You know, these guys are everywhere. And it's our job to grab them and shake them once in a while. Say, hey, we're on your side. Bring them to church. Invite them to church. Pray for them. Encourage them. Tell them thank you once in a while. You know, there's people that have, you know, it starts when they're little, they get beat down, and then in high school they get beat down, and they think that it's impossible for them to succeed, and they're strung out on drugs and alcohol. They've given up on life, and they think they're just going to eke out an existence, and then whatever happens, happens. That's not necessary. That's not necessary. They could be set free from that, but they need somebody to tell them, come on, come with me. I've been where you've been. Now, I'll show you how I got out of it. You know, some people call it experience, strength, and hope. It's an amazing thing about a lot of church people. They don't want anybody to know their past. They don't want anybody to know about their experiences in life. They're not going to be able to explain how they come up with strength and hope if they don't have an experience to share. You know, you have got a story that you can share with somebody else. You can identify with somebody else. You can say, I have been in your shoes. And this is what I did to get out of it. And this is what God did for me. You just gave them hope. You turned a light bulb in their head. You gave them hope. You gave them something and said, you know, if God did it for that guy, he'll do it for me. Amen? He wants us to be partakers of his divine nature. He wants us to be able to go out there and shed light into a dark world. And he equips us. He just needs us to be willing to be used like that. Look up here at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. You know, if it seems like we're spending a lot of time on a few verses, because we are, because they're that important. Verse 4 says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You know, we escaped, we were in a horrible mess before we got born again. I mean, there's some people that didn't go through a lot of stuff. You know, my friend, she said, I don't have a testimony. And I said, what do you mean you don't have a testimony? She said, I never drank. I never skipped school. I didn't have sex before I got married. I did my chores. I didn't do any of the things that you guys did. And I said, well, wait a minute. You got a paid for wheat farm in Kansas. You raised registered Gelby cattle. You got a wonderful husband, you got three kids, and they're turning out to be great kids. They're not degenerates. And so you're telling me that if I don't do the things I'm not supposed to do, and I do the things I am supposed to do, things work out pretty good. That's a good testimony. That's the best testimony I ever heard. Amen? You don't have to go through the junk that some of the rest of us did to have. That's a war story. That's not a testimony. You know, I lived a lot of my life as a warning instead of an example. She lived all of her life as an example instead of a warning. That's a good testimony. That's a very good testimony. So we got that verse in mind here. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Second Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. You know, there's an old saying that says, I ain't what I used to be. You know, I ain't what I'm supposed to be. I ain't what I'm used to be. Could be, but by the glory of God, I am what I am. You know, he changes us as we look into his word and we get his word in our hearts and we keep learning from him, learning of him, and finding out these new creation realities, finding out what he did to us when we got born again, finding out what he's doing for us now at the right hand of God as our high priest. Finding out these tidbits that we can bury in our hearts and get a revelation of them, build our lives on them. As we find that stuff, it changes us. It changes us. I always finally, it's just the strangest thing to me. These kids crawl all over me. Anastasia would just maul me. She would crawl on me. Lila would crawl on me. And they'd get up there and they'd watch Mickey Mouse Clubhouse on my computer. And they just felt at home, you know, and they just were comfortable there. And I thought, that is so strange for me. Because I remember one time back before I got born again, all I did one time, there was evil. There was an evil presence in me. I walked into this drugstore one time, and there was a little kid about as far from me from that dog. I just walked in, and that little kid started crying and ran. I didn't say nothing or do nothing or nothing. But God changed me from that to evidently, I don't know, a beanbag. I get bounced on. I get trounced on. But the kids love it, you know. And there's peace in my heart now because of the Holy Spirit. See, He changes us. We're not even recognizable anymore. As hard as we may try to remember what we used to be, it's not worth it. He's changed us so much we can't even recognize ourselves anymore. Amen? But it's by getting in the Word and letting Him come into us. See, John Baptist, he said, I've got to decrease so that He can increase. That's true for all of us. And the way that happens is taking His Word into our hearts, reading it, getting it in there, letting it be in us, letting it be a part of us, identifying with the Word, and then He increases and we decrease. That's how we let the Spirit have control over it. How we let Him have His way with us, you know, to change us from the inside out. Just out of curiosity, has there anybody ever been fishing in here? Anybody ever caught a fish? Have you ever caught a fish? Have you ever caught a clean fish? Me neither. Every fish I ever caught in my life, and I caught a pile of them. You could have called me a fishing addict. When I was a kid, I fished a lot. And I never once caught a clean fish in my life. What I'm going to say, I never caught a fish that I didn't have to do something to before it could be fit to eat. Before it can be fit to use. Don't be discouraged about these Christians that seem to be struggling in life. It irritates me to no end when I know somebody's born again and there's a Christian saying, well, if he's born again, he wouldn't do that. I said, you just need to shut up and let God change him one step at a time. Let God clean him up a little bit at a time. He's new. Leave it alone. Let God take the scales off of him. Let God take the slime off of him. Let God, by his word, do that. You pray for him and encourage him in the word of God. Amen? We're not fruit inspectors. We're sowers of the word. Our job is to sow the word of encouragement into people's hearts. Amen. Encourage them each step of the way. That's why you don't ever, ever hear me berating somebody about their sins from behind the pulpit. Encourage them. Go forward. I know people make mistakes. Everybody does. We encourage people to go forward. The same way Paul did. The Corinthian church was completely out of control. And Paul said, you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He didn't say, you're a sinning son of a gun, get out of the church. No. That's not the way God is. He encourages us. Always remember, God is a loving heavenly Father. And He's teaching us how to walk one step at a time. How many moms in here, when your kid started taking these first steps, he fell down a couple of times and said, now look, this is the third time I picked you up. If you don't get it this time, you're out. Nah, he kept picking him up, dusting him off, stopping any leaks that they might acquire. And you send them back on their way. Why would God, our loving Heavenly Father, be any less than that? He wouldn't. He doesn't throw His children away. He keeps them. And He keeps encouraging them. And keeps teaching them how to walk forward. Keeps lifting them up. Amen? Don't give up. Do not give up. You may get discouraged in the things of God, but do not give up. God is on your side, and if God be for you, who can be against you? When you got born again, the greater one moved on the inside of you. The greater one is in there. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. I promise we're almost there. Chapter 13, verse 12 says, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. See, we're not ever going to know anything until Jesus comes and gets us. When we see Him face to face, I'm not saying if when we see Him face to face, we'll see Him as He truly is and we'll be made like Him. I know people set goals and they want to be here when they're here and they don't realize that they're missing out on the journey because they're focused on here instead of the right here and now. And taking it one step at a time and just going forward. Don't get discouraged. Don't look back. Keep going. Now go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This will be the last one. We'll go eat. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. See, we don't have to know anything. All we have to know is the Word. Just get some Word in you and share that with somebody else. When you get a revelation of a verse, what happens? You get a light. You're a light. You let your light shine. You know, when you're born again, you first get born again, say, I'm born again by the grace of God. That's your light. You're letting it shine. Amen? Then you find out, by His stripes we were healed. Tell somebody that. You know somebody that's sick, don't you? Tell them, by His stripes we were healed. I don't know everything, but I found out about that. Amen? Somebody's broke. Tell them the grace of God. He sets us free. Our provision is met at the cross. We know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for our sakes He became poor, that we through His poverty might be made rich. See, get that light in your heart and tell somebody about it. There are people running around thinking that they are, this was true of me. This was hard. Unsavable, unlovable, and unusable. I mean, that sounds like an impossible situation for somebody to be in, but there is a lot of people running around thinking they're unsavable, unlovable, and unusable. And until somebody tells them about the love of God, they're going to go in that, they're going to go ahead and stay in that state. And it's not necessary. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. We call on his name, we shall be saved. That's not the way the verse goes, but that's how it stands. And then he can use everybody. That's why that poster is on the wall back there. All of those famous people from the Bible had some blemishes. They'll probably, most ministries wouldn't allow them to preach. But God used them. God used them in mighty ways. Noah, Jacob, Gideon, all of these guys. It's too late to use me. You know, Lazarus was dead for 4 days. That's pretty late. But Jesus said, come forth. And he came out of that tomb. Why did he say four? Why 4 days? Jesus was only in there 3 days. Why did Lazarus have to stay in there 4 days? Because of corruption. See, the Jewish had this tradition. They thought the spirit would hang around for 3 days. And after 3 days, corruption set in. The spirit would go ahead and go away. Jesus showed them that he was even above death. Amen. Maybe you gave up on your dream thinking it's dead. It's not too dead. Let Jesus have that dream. Let him put life into that dream and bring that thing forth. Amen. Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for the food that's been prepared for us. We bless it. We thank you for the people that have put this together for us. We thank you for this time of fellowship, and we praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Wow.